Hey everybody, the NFL app is back this season and it is completely reimagined. Whoa. You can live stream your local games and get all primetime games live right on your phone along with the all-new Game Center for breaking news, highlights, stats, and real-time insights from around the NFL. Not this around the NFL. Or for your favorite team, download the NFL app.
The Around the NFL podcast is part of Project Pink Pony.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
There are plenty of legs to that, by the way.
To what?
From day one of this show, Project Pink Pony, which essentially is the Patriots sending people out throughout the league as, you know, quiet
Trojan horses
that will lift up the Patriots organization but never looking that way overtly.
Right. Can you cite an example?
Hence the Lions, you know, beating the Patriots down in week.
We just made the point right here. Greg immediately jumps in with a pro Patriots
argument. So he's part of it. Greg is
part of it. I mean, for 700 plus shows, he's quietly apologized and masked over anything that the Patriots have done that looks at all ill to the viewer.
Why do you guys think I live in Santa Monica and you guys are in Culver City?
Well, that's for other reasons.
Like I'm getting that Belichick cash. He's just sending me it in the mail. Just
hi, everybody. Let's talk about football.
Okay.
That was random.
Today's show, good one, good one. A lot to get to. Speaking of the throne of sleaze, the Patriots and Colts will play on Thursday Night Football this week. So we're going to preview that. Also, Chris Wessling wrote a banger.com/members password cool cats about the top 10 MVP candidates at the quarter poll.
I'd like to see where that link goes.
Maybe you don't want to go.
Ref whistle.
Oh, the great news is you don't need to pay the membership. NFL.com and Chris Wessling's articles and everyone here. It's free.
Absolutely. So you can't complain about it. And Mark's reference there, good ref Mark. If you go to any suspect sites or gambling sites or, God forbid, adult sites, you get sent if you're on the NFL media network, to a referee blowing a whistle image, which is
kind of amazing.
Nah, bro.
When's the last time you got ref whistled, Dan?
About 6 times a day.
Really?
What are you expect?
Haven't you like learned what?
No.
What you can do?
I just hope one day to break through.
You're like, whoa, can't go to brobible.com again? Come on, man.
I just want to surf the web, man.
Bro Bible, that's a thing?
I think so.
I think it's like a Barstool type thing. You can't even get on Barstool.
It's like
it's like
a lads.
On this network. True story.
I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep over that.
Right. I'm not saying. I'm just saying there is a pretty stringent policy.
Well, there's a human coming up and expanding the list and maybe dropping items from the list. That's a weird job that someone has.
It's same thing with
I don't know.
Player of the Week. It's nebulous.
Super shadowy.
About who is making these decisions. And I'm not necessarily
probably someone not in the right I would not – it's not going to be the right person.
It seems a little like almost petty that you can't go to NBA.com from the NFL's web.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Have a little more security yourself.
By the way, I did a little – as the ATN Media Insider, did a little digging on the Player of the Week.
Oh, I did some digging too.
Yeah, and I do know.
I do too, but I don't think I'm at liberty to disclose.
Really?
Sometimes you
– Well, that is a worthless report.
No,
give us something.
No, is it true?
Yeah, it's a bad insider job. Like whenever Ian Rappaport alludes that he knows something and he doesn't tell the public, you're like – that is just – it's like a humble brag again. I don't know what
I would suggest looking
that's
in
wrong.
The realm of PR people.
Well, I knew – yeah, I could have guessed that.
That's a nugget.
This is the thing. As an insider, half the stuff you learn is not for the public.
That's true.
Right, but you just brought it to the public. That's what – insiders keep it to themselves.
I'm a different type of insider, okay? You know? Anyway, I want to address a couple things. From the Tuesday Twitter show, I just want to hit that for a second. And if you're not watching it, please do. It should be pinned on the top of our individual pages, and I believe even on the Around the NFL Twitter page. You could watch it. It was a gay time had by all. And one of the topics was a debate club, an ATN debate club, a callback to the original name of this very podcast. And it was Wes and Seth's Moving Company against the Hot Boys, Reggie and Greg. Watch the show just to see Reggie and Greg
Reggie Bush.
Try to do a celebration high five together or a fist bump or whatever that was.
We recovered. We recovered, and it was smooth the rest of the way. That's our victory.
People are still debating whether you recovered or not.
Street's talking, Greg. But West Sess, very upset. The win went to the Hot Boys, and you thought you got sandbagged on the last question, which was what is the better fan experience, tailgate and stadium, or couch and flat screen? And you thought that because when we went to the Rams game last week that is what I prefer. That's actually not true. I just miss it because I never get to do it. But I actually think the better fan experience now in 2018 is couch, flat screen.
So you're just saying that Greg and Reggie argued better than
yes,
us.
Yes.
That's the point.
It was never about what I believed.
I don't believe that.
It's not about what's right. It's about who debates better. By questioning what Dan likes better, you're questioning his integrity.
Absolutely. I'm way more upset about Dan just handing you the victory and claiming it was about argument.
We have to argue for yet another one-handed catch from a wide receiver versus the play that everyone's going to remember for 15 years from Patrick.
All Mahomes. I know is Wes better. S was commenting early on that the chemistry between Reggie and I was like Stockton to Malone and we were setting each other up.
You were good teammates.
So there we go.
You were a formidable opponent.
It was a tough matchup.
Don't hit out at the moderator. Just, go back to the lab.
Look.
Or the warehouse at the moving company.
This facade that you have that this was somehow a real debate is interesting. But
I think if you go back and watch the tape, there were mistakes made. And I'll leave
on your end?
No, I was just.
Not on your end.
All right, Riveron.
A bastion of integrity. All right, let's get to it. Let's start, of course, with some news.
But obviously, DJ Hayden is going to be out week to week, and Fournette's out. So go ahead, tweet. Hold on, I'm just saying. At least you appreciate it. I know what you guys have to do.
Doug Marrone. Oh, Dougie. Let's get to it. Le'Veon Bell. Big news. Came out a Monday report from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that the Steelers running back is expected to report to the team during their Week 7 bye. The Steelers are 1-2-1. They definitely miss him. Bell, looking for a contract, has not gotten it yet, but also looks like he intends to play. He even spoke to Fowler on the record, so it seems like this is what the situation is. Mike Tomlin, for what it's worth, on Tuesday said, "I have not talked to Le'Veon, and I really have no Le'Veon update." Greg, we'll start with you on this one. The Steelers could use this man.
It's a way for Bell to let them know when he's going to be back. It makes sense. He gets 2 weeks of practice before two straight division games. There's only two more games before that bye. But if I'm a Steelers fan, I'd be worried about these two matchups. Atlanta is not your average one-win team, and then you're in Cincinnati in week 6.
It's tough.
And I think there's absolutely a chance the Steelers lose both of those games, and you're 1-4-1, and Bell is returning too late. So I think that these next 2 weeks and really the next stretch of the schedule all the way through week 11, there are no gimmies. It's tough matchups.
They have
the
one
Steelers.
Of the, they have the, that whole division has a tough schedule with its own division and the NFC South.
Absolutely. So they need to win this game, especially against the Falcons at home, so that they're not stuck going to Cincinnati at 1-3-1 in a totally desperate situation.
I get that. Like, it's become tiresome for people to question the business side of what the player's doing here, but football's unique in the sense that, like, what if one of the four of us decided to be selfish enough to be offered an incredible amount of money and comfort to do a job you like and that include your abilities in theory, but then you need to hold out until midway through the season while the other three people must toil a wind do all the work and then show up on December 15th or November 20th, be like, "Hey, I'm back." Like, I mean, how? That does not work. But apparently it has to work for an NFL locker room.
Right. You're trained to approach it from a business standpoint and a cold, calculated business standpoint. But as a teammate, I think you naturally question someone like that. I would if you guys did that.
Well, I think what's fascinating about this is it's not even necessarily a business decision. I think most people that really study the business of it all said it's not a good business decision. He's ultimately going to lose money.
It's about money, which makes it a business decision.
Well, but I think they think he's probably going to lose money in the end by doing it, but it's a health and quality of life and
It's because he didn't get a contract, which makes it a business.
It's
decision.
A trade. It's a trade off with the Steelers that he doesn't want to give his carries to them. He wants to give them to his next team, essentially. And it's not a terrible idea to take off some time in the middle of his career. You just shouldn't do it while you're on a team like this.
Moving on, this is suspension return week. A host of players, many of them important players to their teams, are back in action after missing the 4 weeks of the season, either due to personal conduct policy violations or the drug policy violation. So here's a list, and it's a team that could take on the Greybeards.
Yeah.
It's the players here. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman. You're excited about that, Ricky Hollywood.
I'm so excited.
You love that, man. Mm. Saints running – hello. Saints running back
Stay
Mark
in control, please.
Ingram. Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict. Cowboys defensive tackle David Irving. Robert Turbin of the Colts. Jimmy Smith of the Ravens. Darrell Worley of the Raiders. A lot of big-time players back in action, Wes.
Yeah, I was looking at this list to see who the best player is, and I think it's probably Jimmy Smith. But the Ravens' defense has done pretty well without him. Julian Edelman might be the most needed player on this list because the Patriots just haven't been able to move the ball through their wide receivers this year.
Thomas Davis will be back soon. The Panthers had the bye week, so he'll be back in a week. That's a big addition. But Jimmy Smith, to me, is the one that stands out because the Ravens right now are the hardest team to pass on in the league already.
So
you're adding a number one cornerback to a team that's the hardest to pass on in a league where everyone can pass? That's pretty
Whose job is he taking? Kind of feel bad for him.
Brandon Carr will probably get less snaps. Marlon Humphrey's playing too well to lose any snaps.
That Robert Turbin, I never would have thought that the Colts needed him so desperately, but he should come in and start immediately.
I like David Irvin coming back alongside DeMarcus Lawrence against the Texans offensive line on Sunday night.
One of the Cowboys' defensive ends will be suspended by noon tomorrow.
No doubt.
It's like there has to be one at all times.
I think Vontaze Burfict, too, for a Bengals team that has been destroyed by the run weeks in a row.
They miss Paul Gunther, their defensive coordinator. It's been a quiet story that their defense is way worse, especially their linebackers and their secondary, than they were compared to a year ago.
Just remember, don't get too comfortable with Vontaze Burfict on the field. He'll get suspended.
Right.
Oh, no doubt about it. But, I mean, we'll see him for 30 or 40 minutes.
He might do a flying spear launch on his first tackle of the year.
We'll get him for a quarter or two.
He got suspended all the time before the new rules.
Exactly.
Like, do it in practice. He'll just take out a coach.
Yeah, I think he's played 3 career games, actually.
I like
that. If you look it up on NFL.com.
Preston Brown, a Bengals linebacker, said that Vontaze Burfict was looking a little fat around the sides.
I like that. Kicker update. He couldn't fucking do it.
Oof.
Sam, is it Ficken?
I think it's Ficken.
But I like what you did there.
But it's over.
Sometimes you got to stretch the pronunciation for the joke.
He's been waived by the Rams. Not a surprise. Last Thursday night against the Vikings, he struggled again, missing 2 of 3 field goal attempts. He missed 2 of 3 since taking over for Greg the Leg Zuerlein, who's got that injury. But he missed one on Thursday night that would have salted the game away. It was a bad miss on a short kick. And you had a feeling it was over for Sam. And now it is. So Cairo Santos is signed. What is going on? You want to talk about collusion? You know, let's be real here. Kai's Kai, and I get that. Kai Forbath should be the kicker of the Rams.
He tried out, though, so they gave him a shot.
Cairo Santos has been a better kicker throughout his career than Kai Forbath.
You can get
kicker hate.
Back. You take that back, Wes. No, you look at – you can say, oh, he had a better workout. Maybe Kai missed one off the upright or something. Whatever. Go back to the tape. Watch a tape in Minnesota last year. Kai had a nice year.
Well, things change. Things change. He was struggling.
There's tape for kickers, Wes. There's tape for everybody.
Has anyone ever watched one of these kicker tryouts? Because a lot of times the guy who wins is surprising.
Well, yeah, that's true. But as a 5'8", he's listed as 5'8", Cairo Santos, 160 pounds, which means he's probably 5'6", 150. And he went to Tulane. So I feel a special connection. He's the closest thing I'll ever have to an avatar in the NFL.
My memory is faulty, but before they got HarrisonButtKicker.com, Cairo Santos was one of the best kickers in the league, and then he went through groin problems for a year or two.
Yeah, well, you know.
Named after Egypt's capital.
A lot of Santos stock on this show. It's like you can't get this from other shows.
You bring Kai in the building, and you don't take care of him. That's disrespectful.
Interesting that it's Kai versus Cairo.
Interesting. Hey, New York Jets malcontent updates. No suspension for Robbie Anderson. which was quite surprising for a host of issues that he had in the offseason, including a salty exchange with a police officer while in the back of a cruiser. And the problem is, that's good news for the Jets and their fans, but he is completely evaporated in this offense, which does not like to throw the ball downfield, and Robbie Anderson is most dangerous as a deep threat, but he'll be on the line.
108 yards this year on 8 catches.
Right.
Not much of a year.
He's no Nyheim Hines.
He's been a complete afterthought, and this was a guy that was on pace for a 1,200-yard season before Josh McCown got hurt last December. Also, Jets running back Isaiah Crowell, if you remember in that Thursday night game after scoring his second touchdown, he pretended to be cleaning himself in the bathroom after a deuce, and then he threw the football into the crowd, apparently unhappy about how his Browns tenure ended or went, and he gets fined 13 Gs for that. But he probably got the money back because we learned that he signed a endorsement deal off this with the company. What was it again, Greg?
Dude Wipes.
Dude Wipes.
I'm not going to buy Dude Wipes and encourage
that. I don't know who is buying that. I mean, I would say he's responsible for the psychological turning point of that Browns-Jets game, which was won by Cleveland.
I hope he gets money from Dude Wipes and not just the 17 boxes that he displayed in his Instagram picture, because, like, he had enough Dude Wipes to last him a lifetime.
You want real money out of even being assigned to that pitch.
I mean, in terms of, like, gross touchdown celebrations, it's pretty good, though. The ball was his toilet paper, and he threw it to the fans.
Which he didn't
like.
Good?
And there's like a personal.
I mean, if you're looking for something really gross, that's gross.
We're supposed to be looking for something gross.
I mean, if you were like 11 years old, you would.
That's what he was going for.
The bowling, I'm generally not attracted to unattractive things.
What's that?
The bowling touchdown really grossed me out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that touchdown dances.
Just because most bowlers are gross?
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. Michael Kendricks.
That is a hot take. I mean, I didn't have a feeling about bowlers in general before.
That is classist.
Yeah, it is actually. Keith Hansis bowls. You got a problem with him?
Oh
no, me and Keith go way
He's
back.
He's got a 186
every bowler
average.
But Keith Hansis. Okay, that feels like a really solid theory coming from behind the glass. There,
every guy with a name tag that says Earl is not happy with you.
You got a problem with Keith's 186?
No, me and Keith go way back. We're good.
How are bowling alleys doing in 2018?
They're fine.
I was just at one the other night.
They're fine. They're not doing great, but they're fine.
They appear to be.
No, I'm just curious. Like, you don't see articles. You see a lot of articles like, oh, the death of baseball. No one wants to.
Well, they jazzed
like, how
up.
Are bowling alleys
well, they attach them to nice
are young
diners
bowling?
And bars now.
Are young people bowling?
I was there the other night, and I did not see young people.
Probably not in Santa Monica, Greg, but in other parts of the country, which are sometimes ravaged by economic setbacks, some people do go bowling because it's less pricey than taking 15 people to the Mets game or something.
It's an economical
right.
I used to go bowling all the time.
Boondoggle.
Especially
Greg doesn't like
drive.
What I just said.
My parents would drop me off at the bowling alley.
Well, you're right. I mean, there are tons of bowling alleys everywhere in L.A. It's not like they're not there.
But a lot of those are like she, like come in like a dress and like a button-down shirt.
Have a martini.
Pretend to bowl while you're getting hammered.
Have a martini and French fries.
Your mom would just drop you off with your daily gallon of milk?
Yeah, she'd say, go have fun bowling, sweetie.
Michael Kendrick suspended indefinitely by the NFL on Tuesday following a review into his September guilty plea to insider trading charges. Mike Garofalo reported he's on the Seahawks now. He's even been a starter for them. But the Browns cut him immediately after his arrest, and now the Seahawks will not see him. And it's quite possible, it's kind of a bummer, but he's got a federal prison sentence probably looming here that he's played his final down. That's why you don't inside trade. Don't do it.
The deep
get banged.
There's a good
Uncle Sam's going to come for you, baby.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting story. There's a long form, which I'm forgetting who wrote it, about just the story behind it is pretty fascinating. And it was fascinating that the Seahawks signed him knowing this was almost certain to happen, that they just decided, whatever, three games was worth it.
I think
it.
They were quite short-handed at the time.
Yeah. Or it gets delayed or whatever.
He made a difference. He helped that team. He helped that team for 3 weeks, and now it's over.
But with one thing on insider trading, is I feel like since the age of like 12, I'd heard of it, and I don't know what it is at all, but I basically know I should not be doing it. But then do you suddenly, if you're one of these people pulled into this, you realize, oh, I didn't even realize I was insider trading. I was doing something nefarious that I thought would make money, and I'm already on second base of this issue.
Well, if you
issue.
Don't know what insider trading is and you're working in that realm, you probably deserve whatever's
well, going. I mean, he basically went along with
Do you sign a paper that says now I'm insider trading and now I'm in that world? It feels like you get pulled
into it. Went
along
with someone who knew exactly what he was doing.
Yes, and he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
There is, just the answer, because I know the industry. Yes, there is a note that you sign. I will now be an insider trader.
You know this industry. You have the figures on the bowling industry. I mean, it's widespread.
That's what's happening in the news. You may or may not have heard, but Lowe's is a new home for craftsmen. Which means that at Lowe's, you'll find an ever-growing selection of mechanics tools, tool storage, and more in-store and online, ready to help tackle projects throughout your home. If one of those projects happens to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet. It has a 3-degree arc swing, you guys. Don't you know what that does?
Oh, yeah.
What does it do, Wes?
Gives you more leeway. You can go around things. You can swing it out. You can go around.
A 3-degree arc swing.
Hey, twins.
You can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. Correct, Wes. That should make it easy to tackle any auto or DIY project on your list. Shop the new home of craftsmen today at Lowe's.com/around. That's Lowe's.com/around. Greg, I think it's toolbox time, baby.
I rent. I'm not fixing someone else.
I rent,
too.
You
mean you rent
a toolbox house.
Yeah.
What?
I'm in my toolbox almost every weekend. I just little things to take care of the house. Every weekend.
Even like a bathroom doorknob gets a little loose. You just get a little, you just.
Some nails, hammer, your screwdriver, your power drill.
Right.
Picture falls off the
measure,
wall.
Yeah.
That's what your wife is for, you know?
Oh!
Or your phone to text the owner of the house. Come fix it, owner of your
house.
That
is what the wife is for, you know? Sometimes you gotta let the girls.
It's okay to have non-traditional roles.
Absolutely, that they can, but to suggest that they always would, it's whoever has a free hand.
Right, you could spin it.
It's called a partnership.
It didn't pass the sniff test for me. That comment by Greg. You're up, Mark.
all right, so we have another a banned phrase for me. I'm adding another one. It's like why would we keep adding banned phrases? Like, did Merriam-Webster building his dictionary decide after like 8 words, we're done, we're good? We're building a compendium of things that I don't enjoy, and you're always willing or allowed to add your own.
Where is this
anti-diction?
Where is this blowback that you're adding too much?
I kind of just pre-preparing for it. Like, why is this still a segment? Well, it's not a segment. It is refining what we're trying to do here, and a lot of it has to do with Twitter behavior. And sometimes this is one of those words that wouldn't like catch all of society by storm. It's a phrase. But it is especially rampant within the sports media and sports writing community, which I know gets on everyone here's radar starts to bubble up. This is one where you'll see it'll be Thursday night, and it will be someone from a distant NFL city flying into a stadium, and it's that very typical boring picture 3 hours before kickoff of their laptop in front of a field. It says, "My office for the day."
So it's a phrase that's going.
Are you gonna say anything, or?
I'm always told I don't let the sound effect play out. So, as long as it's going on,
really picked a doozy to let play out.
Yeah,
you want the listener to enjoy that. We did.
This came from a Twitter follower, and I'm gonna retweet his tweet when I find it here. It was a great suggestion, and it's a great suggestion when you realize, wait a minute, that has annoyed me for a very, very long time. And if you're doing this, just stop doing it. In fact, you are ordered to stop doing it.
Okay. This one feels a little esoteric.
Not all of them are like grand slams. If you go open a dictionary, some words are a little more nuanced and focused at certain people. Not every word is like a 5-star word.
I couldn't agree more. And the problem is there's something inherent, I guess, about being a sports writer that just makes you do it. Because we all sent out the same somewhat boring picture from wherever we were sitting of a blank.
But we don't say my office for the day.
No, you don't say that. You don't say that.
But isn't that kind of
what you're saying? I don't need those pictures. They're boring. I know what a football field is.
I don't need the picture either, but the picture alone I would forgive, because if you're at the Super Bowl and you're taking a picture of the stadium, every human is doing that. I kind of get that. But it's the my office for the day, where it's like, A, that's a humble brag. We get it. You're covering football or you're covering a baseball game. Good for you.
We'll figure out that you're covering it by the context of your information.
Right.
Show us something that proves that it was helpful to be there, and we'll figure it out.
What would you say to the people?
I'm with you 100%.
Thank you, Greg.
What would you say to the people
That's
who
fine.
Have,
I'm fine.
Have thrown out the theory that this is just your gateway to banning social media altogether. That eventually it's going to happen.
No, because, well, I think those are alarmists because that would take a lot. There's a lot of stuff happening on Twitter that I will never get to. I am just finding
banning his own social
media. Well, that will happen in some way, but certain things that I just find annoying, I find sometimes that at least 75% of other people also find it somewhat annoying.
It's a high watermark.
I mean, Mark's not getting off the gram. He's the most social media savvy guy.
You never know. Like the whole thing is some at some point just ghost entirely and turn it all off. Turn the shop lights off.
You're definitely quitting Twitter before Instagram.
Mark's not quitting any social media.
Twitter?
That's my guarantee. I think you like it. You love the social.
You
like to complain about it too.
Post working here, Twitter would probably be deep in the rearview mirror.
All right. There you go. Banned. You can no longer say my office for the day. Local journos and national journos. It's out.
Gone.
I like when the cannon fires it away. I don't know. I think Eric could kind of drop the ball. Just giving us. There we go. Get it out of here. Let's.
Oh, she looks so bored, by the way.
Top 10 MVP. She's just mad that her insurance went up $800.
I'm so upset. I'm going to punch that little gecko in the throat.
I mean, that's what happens when you hit someone with your car. Literally, you hit a woman.
She ran into my stopped car, okay?
All right. I hate to do this, but we have some. One minute ago on Twitter.com, Erica Tamposi has sent a tweet out that says, "My office for the day," with a picture of the four of us.
Oh, that's rich. Well, Mark, what are you going to do? What do you do in this situation?
You're dealing with someone that at every turn in the road is looking for self-promotional items, self-promotional tweets, anything she can do to get on any microphone anywhere. Oh, and for her good qualities, I'll endure this part of her personality.
Wow. That was a good tweet.
That was too real.
Really upsetting.
That was a little bit cutting.
Yeah, that like every microphone I can get on.
Oh. Are you speaking into a microphone right now?
Yeah, touche. You make me.
I don't make you.
I don't want to be here.
Oh. Erica, your good qualities far outweigh that one little bullet point that
needs
some
work. Check out the broadcast. Drops every Thursday. Make sure you subscribe and download right now.
You left it open for her.
The top 10 MVP candidates. After week 4, Chris Wessling wrote a banger. Ooh, it's a beefy one, too. I'm going to say it's about 1,200 words of action.
It's over 2,000, baby.
Oh, whoa. That is a lot of content. And that's because Wes went methodically through each of the 10 and really dug into it. This is no one-liner. And there are certain people in this industry, maybe even in this company, that get a list assignment and they knock out the column clearly in about 25 minutes. Wes burning the midnight oil. Didn't even get a lot of sleep last night. Look at this guy. He's wearing his glasses. He looks like hell. Not quite, but look tired.
I'm conflicted about list articles because it feels like the entire industry has decided just to do slideshows and whatever. And
That was like 7 years ago. The slideshows have kind of died.
Lists have not its worth.
Greg. Ever the contrarian.
I'm just saying.
We have like 30 slideshows on our site right now, by the way.
Gennaro, our editor, yes, called it rank it and bank it. That's the approach that most people take toward it. But I like, where else do I have to put my game pass notes?
Yeah, that's fair.
So that's what goes in there.
But here's the I'm with you on that, but don't you like reading lists? That's the thing it's a catch 22.
I enjoy it.
Ultimately, I like reading them.
They're my guilty pleasure.
All right, let's get to it. Terrell Casey.
I don't even know what to do with Dan right now.
Number 10 on your list.
Wow.
Defensive lineman, Tennessee Titans. This is, I think, a lot of people, you know, that maybe don't dive as deep into the tape as Wes would not have Terrell Casey anywhere near an MVP list. Tell us why he's on yours.
Well, symbolic of the Titans, and there were about 10 different guys I could have thrown in there at 10. To me, the analysis is more interesting than the number. While the Titans were going through their backup quarterback and missing a couple of tackles and the wide receivers not making plays, the defense carried this team for weeks 2 and 3, and then they showed up big in week 4 too. And Jarrell Casey is playing as well as any defensive lineman in football this year. I don't care what PFF's grades say. He's up there with anyone.
And they've got him very high.
And, well, I'm sure they do, but this is a guy who's been possibly the most unsung star in the NFL for the last half decade.
I like that you put him in here against the other 10, probably 9 of them running backs or quarterbacks or whatever. It will because the whole way that MVP voting happens, and there hasn't been a defensive player pick since Lawrence Taylor led the league in sacks in 1986, 25 franchises would need to fold for Jarrell Casey to win MVP. But I will say he belongs on this list.
Yeah, I don't even think he's going to be top 10 consideration by the end of the year. I just want to give him
maybe some credit
that he's been due.
Maybe he'll get the defensive player of the year. Just conversation, he'll be in that. He's one of the rare guys that's probably as good against the run as he is against the pass. And he's a good reminder, and Geno Atkins this year is too. Sometimes with defensive linemen or offense, you just kind of like assume they're at the same level every year. And it's like, no, great players go up and down at those positions just like any other. And Jarrell Casey's playing better this year than he's ever played.
7, 8, 9 on this list is three incredibly important skill players to their respective teams. Zeke Elliott, running back, Cowboys, 9. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, Chiefs, 8. Todd Gurley, running back, Rams, 7. Tyreek Hill, Wes, you've been singing the praises of that wide receiver all season. Thought he might even be a little higher on this list.
Yeah, I originally had him higher, and then he kind of disappeared for stretches of the last two games. I do think he's very valuable for what he does, even when he's not touching the ball, that he really opens the spacing for this offense. And they have as much spacing as any offense in the league. And I think that's why. I think he has a Randy Moss-like effect because of his speed. And that's why Alex Smith was an MVP candidate. It's one of the reasons why Patrick Mahomes is going to be an MVP candidate, because of Tyreek Hill's presence out there.
And there's no other number one type of receiver that – I guess maybe there are, but they don't make plays like Tyreek Hill, where when they needed a play in the punt return game to be made the other night, that's when you put Tyreek Hill back there. He's only returned a handful of punts this year, and three of them have gone for big distances. He set them up to start making that comeback the other night.
One other MVP note, like I think Ezekiel Elliott, no matter what he does, probably faces a little bit of an uphill climb, even though he's on the team that gets more celebration than any other team combined. Because if they go 7-9 or 6-10 or they don't make the playoffs, again, if you look at the way the MVP voting happens, 9 out of 10 times they're attached to a high-flying winning team.
I have even more respect for Zeke Elliott through the first 4 weeks than I've had in the past, because he's doing this. He's showing this year certain guys will disappear, running backs will disappear when they don't have quite the cast that they need around him, and he's still a badass right now, even with the Cowboys kind of going uphill on offense.
He's a great guy to think about what would the team would be like without him.
They'd be terrible.
They might be going for the number one overall pick. Gurley, the Rams would be fine without Todd Gurley. They would figure it out. The Cowboys would be 1-15.
They'd be a hot mess.
The play that won that game, other than the field goal, of course, is Zeke going down the sideline and taking a ball over his shoulder and bringing it in. Not a lot of running backs can make that play. Let's move to number 6, Aaron Rodgers, and number 5, Drew Brees. So two quarterbacks, two mainstays, two future Hall of Famers still getting it done.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that Brees missed a couple of touchdowns in week 2, but has otherwise been just about perfect. He didn't have the greatest game against the Giants, but he's still completing about 76% of his passes, which would shatter his own record for a single season.
76? Yeah. That's insane.
And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, what he did week 1, the largest fourth-quarter comeback in the 98-year history of the Packers was amazing. And to me, like, I think some of the prettiest throws of the season have been drops by Packers wide receivers, including a pair off 1 foot with just a flick of the wrist that were perfectly placed in Davante Adams' hands and Geronimo Allison's hands in the end zone, in the red zone last week. And this game should have been way better than 22-0 in the Packers.
Like a seasoned bullfighter out of a Hemingway novel.
Yeah, Rogers, I sort of went to the bank twice on that. I said that on the podcast
veteran
a couple of days ago.
Oh, if you get a good line in the podcast, you got to
Well, you
use
let
that
me
right.
finish the sense. I'm enjoying the sense. Is a grizzled veteran playing 21st century America's most iconic athletic position with style and flair. You don't read this on SB Nation, folks.
Random SB.
You don't read this on Bro Bible.
Or not allowed on Pro Bowl.
Or Barstool. You only get it from Chris Wessling at NFL.com. And I should note that Aaron Rodgers, even though their offense did not play very well as a unit last week against the Bills, moving better, which is a good sign that perhaps his legs are getting back up to speed. We'll move to number four, Alvin Kamara, running back New Orleans Saints. Mark, he is super impressive this season because this is the year, the first quarter of the season, he did it on his own, and the Saints didn't skip a beat back there.
He can do it all. And I guess I, with this whole pull the player from the offense thing, I would struggle a little bit. If you pull Alvin Kamara from this offense, you still have what they've had all along, which is Drew Brees and the parts around him. But Alvin Kamara, to me, is such a different kind of player than they've ever had. But if you pull Drew Brees and you put in some other no-namer, what happens to it's? You've got two MVP candidates on that offense for a good reason. But to me, Alvin Kamara is doing things that no other running back in football can do right now, and he's doing it no matter who else is on the field, and he's a special player, and they know it.
The touchdown that he scored, the balance that he showed last week on the goal line, I think that's what really separates him, is that he can be that receiver, essentially running routes and beating linebackers like a receiver, but he can also withstand linebackers crunching him on the goal line and keep his balance. That's why I call him an alien. Like, he has a balance that it's hard to measure that, but it's better than any running back I can remember.
I'm just glad he was born when he was.
He's
so he could
crunching.
Play in this era.
Oh, I didn't know where that came from.
You mentioned his goal line abilities. Do you believe that now that Mark Ingram is back that they'll have a similar role to last season, or do you think Kamara is kind of the lead dog here as opposed to a 1-2 punch?
I think he was the lead dog by the end of last year, and I don't think his role has to change too much because he's only run the ball 56 times this year. You probably won't get games like last week where he had 19 carries as often, but they've been pretty conservative with him running. He's caught the ball more. He's third in receptions.
He's on pace to break Matt Forte's single-season record for receptions by a running back. He's going to go over 100 unless he gets injured.
It's a great problem for them to have to figure that out.
The top three, Khalil Mack, linebacker, Bears. I think everyone has been tracking this guy's season, gets traded from the Raiders, and has just become a monster. He's on pace for 20 sacks and 13 forced fumbles and is the face of that defense right now. And then you have Jared Goff at number two, getting some love. This has been – it's been funny, the Jared Goff narrative in this NFL season. The first 2 weeks, you had the – after the second week, you had the game manager narrative rolled in. Now the last 2 weeks when he's been lighting it up, it's like the totally opposite side of it where it's like Jared Goff is actually a superstar, guys. He's closer to that, Wes?
You'd have to be blind to watch Jared Goff the last 2 weeks and think that he's a game manager when he's making – what Jim Murray once said about Dan Marino, double keyhole throws, not just putting it through one keyhole, but two keyholes.
And then through a turkey hole sometimes.
And then through a turkey hole.
Bang! So many holes.
He is putting the ball right on his receiver's hands, 20, 30, 40, 50 yards downfield. What more do you want the guy to do?
Even in that week two game, he was making plays under pressure into tight windows. I think that was the one thing that I wondered about Jared Goff. Can he move away from pressure? But he shows that – he's not Tom Brady, but he shows that ability to move within the pocket that Matt Ryan's also very good at, to get away from defenders and deliver while he's about to be hit. And I don't think that was really there the first couple of years. He's just getting better.
I agree.
If Khalil Mack keeps this up – and again, this award is always on my radar because it only goes to two positions for 29 years in a row, and then it goes to a third. I don't know how he wins MVP based on what J.J. Watt did over previous seasons. I don't know how they don't just slide him into Defensive Player of the Year, but if he keeps this up, there's such an argument to change the way we look at MVP because he is – they threw six touchdowns, the quarterback's good now, everyone's all on that bus, Matt Nagy can run the offense, this is their quarterback. He came in and changed this team from the absolute minute he stepped on the field, and they would not be who they are without Khalil Mack. He's what an MVP should be.
Yeah, if not for that miraculous Aaron Rodgers comeback, the Bears would be undefeated and people would be talking about him more as an MVP.
And I think you'd have to go – some of those Watt seasons were just outrageous. I think they might have fallen on some of those crazy Peyton Manning years and Aaron Rodgers seasons.
But some quarterback's going to be crazy this year. It's such a high bar, though.
Right. Right. I think the quarterback ultimately is, to me, the most important player in the sport. So I get what you're saying. But Mac could make a real strong push.
What if they changed the name of the award from Defensive Player of the Year to Defensive MVP? Would that make you feel any
better?
It would
make me, because I think what we do is we automatically take – it's easier just to understand offense if you're half these voters. I understand a wide receiver going for 2,000 yards, a quarterback doing what Pat – but when you're – Jarrell Casey will never get consideration because who's watching Jarrell Casey? And even with Mac, you can hear that Mac's great and see it on highlight plays, but you don't see the nuance of snap after snap, most of these voters.
And I think reporters and voters have gotten much more knowledgeable thanks to services like PFF. But still, it's a stats-based award more than it should be. There's no replacement for watching the games. And if you're watching the games, I mean, these writers just don't have enough time to. But if you're watching the games, Khalil Mack would certainly be in your top two.
If he kept up this pace, I think he'd had a legit shot. The problem is this pace is outrageous. I mean, if he gets a forced fumble every week, I think he'll do it.
Yeah,
I think
you'll get a lot of records.
You'll get it.
Number one on the list. Yeah, you can guess it. It's not Tom Brady because Tommy didn't make the top 10. Number one, Patrick Mahomes. That was for you, Erica. How'd you like that?
I didn't read the article.
Yikes.
Yet. When is the last article you read on NFL.com?
Your Browns Belichick article about a year ago.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
The Belichick one, not the recent
the Belichick
one
letters.
About being a
2 years
fan
ago.
That was so
but
great.
No, I didn't. I tweeted about it, how great it was, but I didn't read it.
I do that all the time, so
yeah,
I really can't kill you.
Clothes.
Patrick Mahomes and Wes, you can give us. We've talked a lot about Patrick Mahomes. Why is he number one?
Well, beyond the numbers, the way he's played, the style in which he's played, the fact that Andy Reid, you know, to his everlasting credit, had a perennial playoff contender with Alex Smith, a guy who could run his offense, who could be safe and conservative, which a lot of coaches like. Don't go out there and freelance. Don't go out there and mess up the game plan. Patrick Mahomes is out there freelancing and doing it well as a guy who's only made 5 NFL starts. And then guys like Bud Dupree from the Steelers say, we really underestimated this guy's pre-snap intelligence. He was out there deciphering us before the snap. He's doing all of that plus the Elway Favre-like ability to improvise and play sandlot football when the defense makes you do it.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Let's do it. Patrick Mahomes, the leader, everyone's leader for MVP, including Chris Wessling. You check it out, NFL.com/Wessling to read the entire piece. Great work, Wes. Ad time, G Suite is a suite of cloud-based productivity tools that includes Gmail, Docs, Slides, Sheets, and Drive. These tools improve your work life, both in terms of your experience and the outputs you create, hence the new campaign, Make It With G Suite. You know, when you have 20 identical versions of a document labeled final and no clue which is the latest?
Yes, all the time. It's highly ponderous.
So you make another version and name that one Final Final, right?
Yes, that's what I do in that situation.
Well, with G Suite by Google Cloud, a range of work apps like Gmail, Docs, and Slides let you make real-time updates to the same document without having to keep track of version after version of a project. And since all the tools are cloud-based, your whole team can access the same doc and work on the same page at the same time. To find out more about G Suite's productivity tools, visit gsuite.com. That's gsuite.com. Make it with G Suite by Google Cloud. And also, have you, ever looked at your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Did you know you could actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate?
I did not.
LightStream offers credit card consolidation of loans from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 18% APR.
Yikes.
Get a loan from $5,000 to $100. Jeez, bang. And you can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply because LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. And now, our listeners can get a special discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/football.
Doesn't feel specific to us, but fair enough.
That's LightStream.com/football. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/football for more information. All right, let's close out the show with a look at Thursday night football. The New England Patriots, 2-2, got back on track by wiping out the Dolphins, humbling the Miami Mashers. 35-7, I believe, was the final. It was not competitive. And now their treat is another home matchup, this time against the Colts, who are now 1-3, Mark Sessler. And they need a dub, and it ain't going to be easy to do on the road in Foxborough. What are your thoughts?
It's always when I look at the schedule and they put these short week games in New England, it's a double extra challenge. A, you're a first-year head coach in Frank Reich. You've got to out-duel Bill Belichick, a Bill Belichick team that gets Julian Edelman back. And I think we're going to get more snaps from Josh Gordon than, what did he have, 18 last week or something? Didn't do a whole lot for them. And we'll find out about Gronk. He's a wait and see at this point. I trust that he'll play, although, Greg, you do not. You think he may not.
We'll see. It's a short week, and he hasn't practiced. I know they're saying it's not a major ankle injury that's been reported widely. But why risk anything with Rob Gronkowski's long-term health? I think it's a smart week to have him sit down.
Because you need a win. Because you're only 2-2, and if he can play, he plays. Basically a mini bye if he's good enough to suit up. I think they could use
it. Yeah, you start. I don't know. To me, that's
Well, the Patriots are one of the teams that generally err on the side of caution in terms of they're going to preserve their guys' bodies if they can.
I feel like that's the approach the Vikings took when they got the clocks cleaned by the Bills. Oh, we don't really need Dalvin Cook this week. Let's be cautious.
I don't think that they would make the decision any differently against any team. It's just the fact that it's a Thursday night game.
Well, and it's a cult. No T.Y. Hilton. For the Colts, it sounds like.
No,
right?
Jack Doyle, it sounds like.
They are shorthanded in the passing game. We already know what we think about their run game. Nice to have Robert Turbin back, but Robert Turbin is not the second coming of, Ezekiel Elliott right here. So it's like you get like 28 yards from him.
I'm enjoying your analysis.
No, you have no – it's like I just think this – watching them against the Texans, they can do one thing, and it's throw the ball to a bunch of no-namers outside of T.Y. Hilton.
Can I ask a question? Has Andrew Luck ever beaten the Patriots?
No.
Has it ever been a close game?
The average margin of victory since Luck has played for the Colts is 19 points in the Patriots' favor.
Oh,
well, this is such a different Colts team and such a different Patriots team. If the Colts were healthy, I think it would have been a lot more interesting because the Patriots
– But of course it won't be.
Wes was right that on paper last week was a strange week and they're still working through things. But especially seeing the Patriots' offense against the Colts' defense would have been interesting, but they're also missing Quincy Wilson. They're missing Kenny Moore, probably their best two guys.
But this is the first Colts defense since before the Ryan Grigson era that has had a backbone. You can't just line up and shove it down their throat this year.
I think it could wind up being kind of an ugly game where there's a little bit of grumbling just because it's 18-10 going into the fourth or something. I want to see the Patriots offense get going. It's going to be a lot of James White, a lot of Sony Michel. Trent Brown is really struggling to protect Tom Brady. The Nate Solder departure is starting to come home to roost, and that's a big concern. Maybe it's not a huge one this week, but Tom Brady is getting hit a lot, and Tom Brady is not hitting any deep balls. He's statistically
maybe the worst
in the league hitting deep balls right now.
Colts had 7 sacks last week, and that came against the Texans, so you can take a few off that. But
they are second only to the Bears in sacks, and they are leading the NFL in tackles for loss.
Colts. There was an old adage, which I know you were aware of, Greg, that you would never bet against Peyton Manning in primetime. Peyton Manning's heyday, he was a beast. Andrew Luck has struggled in primetime in his career. One of his last 6 games that the Colts have won. So I'm going to be really surprised, especially with them being shorthanded, if they go in there and compete.
A word in Andrew Luck's favor here. We expressed quite a bit of skepticism about his arm. Then he went through for a career high with T.Y. Hilton on the sideline in the fourth quarter. He's got a comeback attempt, sends the game to the last seconds with Zach Pascal, Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers, 3 undrafted receivers, and a former basketball player undrafted named Mo Alley Cox. I don't want to hear any more Eli Manning excuses.
That's not a real
person. I just don't. Don't give me any more.
Especially while J.J. Watt and Devin Clowney are coming after him.
Like, if Andrew Luck can get 464 yards with an arm that's not quite right.
They weren't. They Eli weren't all 6 yard passes either.
I have no idea why we're talking about Eli Manning.
I'm just
right
saying,
now,
like all the excuses that are constantly made for Eli Manning, and Andrew Luck did that.
By the way, I do think, as Mark mentioned, we'll see more of Josh Gordon, and he made a big impact. I feel
I don't need that
a little more excited about Josh Gordon after these 18 snaps. Didn't play much.
Mark doesn't want to hear that.
I mean, what I don't. That's great, Greg. That you after multiple Lombardi trophies, that you're just walking around one in each arm. Erica's carrying the third. Now you're getting to be excited about Josh
well,
Gordon.
There's five technically.
Come on.
There, but he made of two tough catches. He drew a penalty. He also drew his Xavier Howard. He broke a couple tackles. He made a huge block.
In other words, he's a monstrous, talented wide receiver.
Right. So
we are finally connecting the dots here.
Well, we haven't seen that in a long time, really.
This guy is from another. You talk about someone else being an alien, Alvin Kamara. Josh Gordon, when he's healthy and good, is unstoppable, and you got him for nothing.
How about that Eli Manning, though?
I mean, this is so predictable what's going to happen here.
Let's cut through the BS. I got 38-17 Pats in this game. What do you guys got?
I don't think the Pats score that many points. I'll say 24-20 Pats.
I'll go 26-19
24-13 I like what I saw out of the Pats defense, especially at home.
Good stuff. All right. We'll recap this game.
No one's locking up the Patriots this week?
I would suggest not, but listen, it's a mirror check. That's all. Just look in the mirror.
None of us ever – I never think about locking this early in the week, so the Thursday –
You can, though. It is eligible.
None of us do, except I did it with the Browns 2 weeks ago. So none of us not accurate.
I said I never do.
All right. Let's end this podcast where a fight breaks out. We will be back tomorrow night with a recap of the game we just previewed and then a preview of all the rest of the week, 5 games. That's what we do. And again, if you have not, or if you're not watching our Twitter show, we're having quite a lot of fun over there. So the video show, you can find it pinned on our pages and pinned on the Around the NFL Twitter page. So make sure you check it out. Give it a gander. Gander is a term
nice.
People use.
I like it.
For look at it.
To peer at, to look.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, let's go. Stan Hansa signing off for the Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Go Yankees! Till Thursday!